Well, hello, hello, and thank you so much for joining me on today. This is Purpose Spotlight, where I interview two people and they get to share what they're doing and how they are being themselves for purpose. This is season four. If you can believe it, it's already season four. This is episode two, and I have two amazing women who are going to come on here and share. And so I don't want to belabor because, again, this is not about me. The spotlight is not for me. It's for our first guest. Her name is Naza, and she's going to get to tell you so much about what she's doing. So I want to bring her on now, and then we're going to get this party started. It's always like that pause. She's like, you're just not sure if it went through or not. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I'm so happy to see you.
Likewise.
I know I asked you, I think maybe I asked you last season, maybe the season before, but I think just schedules and stuff like that just didn't come together, but you're here now and I'm so excited to see you, and you look gorgeous. And so,
thank you.
And so, like I said, this isn't about me. This is about you and you getting to share what the heck you're doing. And so, just first go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what it is that you do.
So, my name is Naza, and I am an actress here in Atlanta, but I am from New York, or I spent most of my life there. I am also a Christian. My father is a pastor. My mom is a nurse. Mm-hmm. We participate in foster care, and we are currently adopting. So that's something that has been interesting, and I guess that is a part of my story. Yeah, and that's a little bit about me. So,
okay. And so I heard New York and Atlanta, and both of those are pretty big places for like entertainment and those type of things. People going into those fields where it's acting, music, or anything like that. So as far as you, how did that happen? Did you get to the point where you said, hey, I want to pursue acting? Did you just wake up one day? Was it just something, a series of childhood events? Or, you know, how did you get to pursue that passion? What made you pursue that?
I believe that I have always wanted to act, but my parents were not in favor of it because, you know, that wasn't holy. So I first started wanting to act in junior high school. And I wanted to audition to go to LaGuardia, the performing arts school in New York. Mm-hmm. And my parents were not having it.
Mm.
So I just continued to want to act, but I would say I wanted to be a lawyer and other things. When I got to college, randomly, I auditioned for an improv team.
Okay.
And I auditioned when I was at Liberty. And I only auditioned because my friend wanted someone to go with her, and she was going for singing. She ended up not making it, and I ended up becoming a member of Youth Quest and going to different churches and youth groups and doing, I guess, like improv and live theater. After that, I decided that I was going to follow my dream. And I believe that, you know, God was actually calling me to act, that that's what he had gifted me to do. So this past weekend, I did a short film called Watch Night, Watch Out. And it is a historical piece about slavery, actually about a family here in Georgia. It's their story. Mm. So it's based off of a true story. I also just did a faith-based pilot called Save Point out in Texas. So that was a lot of fun. So I just want to produce and do more good work. So that's it.
Okay. That's wonderful. So I guess I could say this for the message, but I really want to get your opinion on it like right now. So considering, I will say, a more traditional religious background, what does that transition look like between the church and, let's just say, entertainment as a whole? What does that bridge look like in your eyes?
I think it's confusing because we have to learn who we are in Christ and how to do that in a very secular environment. So I think it's a confusing journey, one that has a lot of different variables based on being the weaker brother or the stronger brother, or what you're comfortable with, and also, you know, what what the Bible teaches. I think it's something, it's a faith walk.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of strength to do the right thing. And sometimes you mess up and sometimes you have to figure it out. It's messy. That's what it looks like. It looks messy, but it's a journey where sometimes you fall back, where you fall down. A righteous man falls seven times, mm-hmm. but you have to get back up. It's not you wake up and you have instant security. Like, your trust really has to be in God, because you don't know when your next job is coming or if this is a door that you should go through. So it's something that you have to work out each and every day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sorry about that. And so just taking that and with everything that you're doing now, and congratulations on the projects that it sounds like you just finished and those that you're continuing to work on now, like, that's amazing. You know, it's just one step closer to, you know, to where you want to go. And so, speaking of which, what are some things that you have coming up short term, you know, that you're, I guess that's almost finished, or in things that you are looking to do and to produce long-term?
Right now, I am getting into voiceovers, and I'm getting ready okay. to take a weekend intensive, and I built a little voiceover studio during COVID. So that's nice. Something that I'm launching into, and I'm also starting to host, because I don't sing, Nia. I am not a worship leader. that is not my gifting. I do think that God has given me a gift of communication. So mm-hmm. I guess I want to speak more. That's something that I would like to start doing. But honestly, I am figuring it out. I had okay. applied to grad school and I did not get in. I thought I would be starting in January. So it's amazing that sometimes God closes doors. And yeah. that can be the biggest blessing that we receive. So right now, I am honestly auditioning. I had an audition today. I had three yesterday. I've got another couple to do tomorrow. Yeah. So I am really being in the moment mm-hmm. and learning to be comfortable with the fact that when we follow God, we can be in His good, pleasing, and perfect will. But that takes, you know, like, renewing our mind and our thoughts and choosing joy. I think that's what I would say, is that we have to choose joy, because things don't always go the way we plan or the way we hope. And in those moments, you know, we have a choice to make.
Just mark, write notes, that's all. And so with that, because you went over, you also thank you, Chris, so much, wishing you success as well in all of your endeavors. As far as just the works that you've already done, what are some of the things that people can go and look and say, hey, I want to look and see the different things that she's been a part of, things that she's, you know, already put out, or that's already been put out that she's featured? Where can people see those different either TV shows or movies?
I'm going to be in some upcoming episodes of Payback on okay. TV One, which is a reenactment show. You can check me out in Endless Summer. You can also go over to IMDb, see some of the films that I've done. A lot of them are available on Amazon. I'm hoping that the pilot I just did gets picked up. Save mm-hmm. Point. That would be really, really dope. You can go over to my website, www.nazausher.com. I try to keep that updated, and my Instagram handle is Naza Usher, my first and last name. You can follow me there. But upcoming, I am just auditioning, and you can definitely see some of my work on Amazon, some of the different films that I've done over the years. I also perform with a show called Viable.
Viable,
yep. It's Viable, a touring okay. stage play, so you may catch me in that sometimes when we have some upcoming shows. So that's what I'm doing.
That is wonderful. That's just making my heart so happy. So you just got lists of stuff. Now, did you say I am? That's
I am BD, the
I am the D. That's
Internet
what I thought.
Lead
Okay, I am the
Database.
D. Okay. And it's just, and your name is your name, right?
My
Your
name is my name. That's
okay.
all my social handles, my website.
Okay. Gotcha. So that's a little gold box with the black letters. You can go type her in, Naza Usher there. And so before we close out, you hit on one aspect of it earlier, but I think it's so important because something that I heard recently was that religion, but we're just going to say it that way. Religion can oftentimes make you think that the only Christian vocation is ministry, you know. And so you doing something that's very secular, not that anything, obviously nothing's wrong with that, but being in that type of world, what is your message to those who have that religious mindset that don't believe or don't agree with Christians being in or going into secular fields like entertainment?
So what I would say is love. Love is what covers a multitude of sins. Love is what unites us. Love is what really tears down barriers, not judgment. We need more love. We need more love across the races. We need more love across, just across. Love is what builds a bridge. And that's what we really need to do is show people love. And when people see the love of Christ in us, then they'll want to have a relationship with God. And relationships are personal, but the foundation of our relationship should be love. Because, Christ loved us so much that he died for us. He loved us so much that he put breath in our bodies. He loved us so much that when we sin, he forgives us. So what we need to show people is love and not judgment, because we don't know where someone is coming from or what they are experiencing or what they are going through. But what ultimately heals is love. So I would tell people who are in a secular environment to show love. And those who are in a more traditional Christian route, show love.
Love makes the world go round. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Thank you so much. I think it's so special that you're in that space that you're in, you know, especially in a place like Atlanta where it's just, I'm sure you see like stuff all the time, just like opportunities here and here and here, you know, whether it's singing, dancing, music, this or that, you know, Atlanta's a hot spot for that. But to be called into a place where you have such an awesome opportunity to be light, you know what I mean? It's so incredible, you know, and take that with a badge of honor, you know, that God has chosen you to be in such a space, to be in such a realm to make a difference, you know, because I think a lot of people forget that we're not called to stay in the four walls of a church on a Sunday morning. We're called to go out and to bring people in. And if we're always in the four walls, then we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. And so, thank you know, for being courageous and being obedient and walking in that and believing, you know, that God is going to cover you know, that He's going to be there, that He's going to keep opening doors. And I'm sure, I mean, obviously, like you said before, it's going to be challenging, whether it's, you know, waiting for the callbacks, you know, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't, and all of that. But just knowing that, whatever God has for you is yours. You know what
When he
I mean?
starts a good work, he completes
You'll
it.
complete it. Yeah.
He completes
Yes.
it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so wonderful just to recognize that and to remember that for any field, you know, not just acting or music or fashion or, you know, education, politics, whatever. Just knowing that God will do what He set out to do.
Yeah, he calls
Whatever.
us his masterpiece. That's what he calls us. He calls us his masterpiece. And you know, God cares about all of his masterpieces wherever he has placed them. Each one of us is unique and beautiful and gifted and talented and has a purpose. And God is going to finish that work. You know, that's something that he has promised us as his children. So I would just encourage everyone to share your faith. To share your story, to share your testimony, not just the good things or the, but also the hurtful things, the things that you're ashamed of, because when you share your story, it can bring someone to Christ. So I would just encourage people to really share who they are authentically and to not be afraid to take off, you know, the mask that we so often put on.
Yeah, not be afraid to take off the mask. That's a t-shirt. Not be afraid. Because you wear a mask every day. Be afraid to take off the maskuses. Miss Usher. Besitos. Thank you so much for coming and gracing us with your presence and your knowledge and just showing what you've been doing, the last couple of years and the amazing things that you already have, that you already are doing. That's kind of like a quiet modesty, but it's so amazing. And I know that as you keep pursuing, keep following God, that he's just going to open door after door after door after door. So we
Amen.
encourage and we look forward to seeing you on the TV.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yes, it's been a joy. Please take care.
I will.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Before we bring our second guest on, I do just want to make the note that for sure, even if you are called to ministry, there are people that are called to ministry. I just want to be, real with that. There are people that are called to ministry, but that's not everybody. That's not everybody. And whether you're called to be an apostle, an evangelist, a worship leader, anything within the church spectrum, do that. If that's your calling, do you? Because obviously we be tripping and we need a place to go on Sunday or throughout the week where we can just like, okay, let's just can you talk? Can we have a conversation? You know what I mean?
That's
So
true.
but for those of you who have been pressured into ministry, I pray that God shows you who he is and that he reveals himself to you so that way you can go out and fulfill the amazing purpose on your life that he has for you. So I'm gonna go ahead and bring up our next guest. Thank you so much, Naza, for joining me. Her name is Jessica. She is from Baltimore and she has an amazing story. So I'm gonna bring her up. Let's see, or on up. Let's see. Oh, things just flow so perfectly. This makes my heart work so well. So I'm super excited about this one.
Hi. Apparently it's big hair day
I
today.
know. I literally just had the same thought. I was like, ooh, I need to grow mine out ASAP.
It's coming, it's coming.
Oh my gosh, how are you, Jessica?
I'm well, I am well. Thank you so much for bringing me on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a joy. I think the beautiful, what I love, I think, so much about this program or this series is that to at least in my mind, it just reminds people that they're seen. You may not always get the like, you may not always get the comment, you may not even always get the share, but people are seeing you, they're watching you, they're seeing your progression, they're seeing the various things that you're doing. And so yeah, it's just a beautiful thing to me. Anyways, so like I said, this ain't about me, this is all about you. And so I know your name, but there may be people who don't know your name. For those of you who have been watching, thank you so much. I've seen the comments. So thank you. And please go like and follow Naza. And now we have Miss Jessica. And Miss Jessica, can you go ahead and tell us about who you are and what it is that you do?
Sure. So my name is Jessica Smith. My handle is Jessica Smith Media. I am a mental health advocate based here in Baltimore, like Nia said. I just got into a pretty competitive fellowship, and I'm a mental health fellow with Open Society Institute Baltimore, and I'm the founder of the Mental Health Emergency Fund. So over the past couple years, I've really been like really leaning into entrepreneurship. And just seeing what God does, and God has really been blowing my mind, honestly. It's been a blessing.
Oh,
Thank
that's
you.
wonderful. I feel like it's already turning into one of those when you say yes, God, just like, okay, well, finally, now let's do
Oh,
some stuff.
no, seriously. Like, I've been waiting for you. I have all these things in store. Yes, absolutely.
And so how did that come to be, as far as getting to where you are now, specifically as the focus is mental health? Because I know there are some other things that you have been doing, but how did you decide to pursue mental health and being the advocate for that?
My life, my life struggles, right? I feel like this, I don't want to say, I mean, yes, it's a calling, but more so, it was unavoidable for me, right? Like, this is the path that I had to go on to share my story and to share Christ, because the Lord is the only reason why I'm alive, right? Like, it's been that serious. And so, yeah, I've had some pretty rough battles with anxiety, panic disorder, and the Lord, my community, resources, therapy, medication, like all these things have helped me, incredibly in my journey. And I'm at the place where I can speak openly about it with a smile on my face and no shame, as Naza was saying, like, mask off. I actually, a couple years ago, when I first moved back to Baltimore, I started this blog called Slaying Superwoman Syndrome. So really just like the idea of taking off our capes, taking off our masks as Black women, as Christian women, and really, like, living authentically, kind of what we were already talking about. So yeah, so just my own personal battles, and through my own healing journey, I'm in general, like, I've always been a person to share resources and to share stories as I go through, right? And so, I love community resources, and so I decided to kind of create a business around my own personal story, basically, is the way that I kind of like to talk about it. So I created the Mental Health Emergency Fund last year, just as an idea, because I basically created my own mental health emergency fund when I knew that I might need a job transition and might need some, like, a cushion to kind of help me stay afloat if I was out of work for a period of time, and ended up being out of work for like a long period of time. I had a sabbatical for like 14 months. And my savings account carried me through. I was really, like, intensely in therapy and things like that. And so I was like, this was such a blessing to me, but I know people don't have money like that. Like, I know that people may not be saving for a rainy day. People may not, have the support when they do run into a crisis, right? And so I created this program where I give out financial stipends to community members who are going through a crisis, who don't have, an emergency fund or a savings account that can carry them through some of their through their journey, even to, like, receive therapy and things like that. And so it's been a blessing. Like, God multiplied it 50-fold in 1 year. I started with a $500 grant, and this year I got a $25,000 grant. So God is amazing. He multiplies seed to the sower, and I've been sowing, and I mean, I really love it. Like, I love talking about it because it really is a story of God's provision. It's nothing that I've done, right? It's nothing that I've done. And even the donations that come in and people who hear about me and things like that, they may not even be faith-based, but they are wanting to support the mission, because mental health affects everybody, color, creed, whatever. So, absolutely.
And to help affect everybody. And so, with everything that you just said, you just talked about the fellowship that you just got, and obviously the big grant that you just received for the fund. So, with those particular things, and they may be the most immediate things that you are currently working on, short term. But is there anything else, or if you want to expound on either one of those that you're working on for short term, as well as some things that you're looking for in the future?
Yeah, sure. So this fellowship is an 18-month project where I'm in a cohort of, I think it's 11 of us. We literally just had orientation last week, so we all just, like, got to know each other.
But it's a cohort where we all have a project that we are going to be carrying out in the city for the next 18 months. And so for me, I'm focusing on bringing mental health resources to the church, specifically, you know, like faith-based organizations, churches, also community organizations who may not identify with the particular faith, but those who serve young people, because I really want young people to be able to get some of these tools that I didn't have when I was younger, some of these tools that I wish that I would have had earlier on, to be able to identify signs and symptoms of you know, just, you know, mental health disorders or problems or just like things to look out for, right? And one of the ways that one of the tools that I've been using has been guided meditations via scripture. And so I really want to train people how to really lean into that and to you know, use that as a tool. And that's been one of those grounding tools for me that has kind of really kept me at peace, centered, grounded, all those things, really meditating on the word. And it's really been life-changing, honestly. And it's something that I wish, like I said, I would have known how to do earlier in life. And so, yeah, that's really what I want to be focusing on. And also, another goal of this project for me is I want to become a mental health first aid, instructor and teach these organizations that I'm working with, like have them be certified as mental health first aid people, basically, so they are able to identify signs and symptoms of mental illness or suicidal behavior in the young people that they're working with, because research shows that a young person will go to someone who they trust, like a mentor, a youth pastor, a leader, you know, a aunt, a cousin or whatever first before, you know, seeking professional help. And so if we can get like the village, right, if we can get these people who are quote unquote elders or people who are kind of mentoring these young people to be armed and equipped with the right knowledge and the tools and the know-how, then that's going to help the healthcare system in general, right? And so that's really what I want to do. And yeah, so I'm definitely on an assignment. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely an assignment for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That assignment is a word that I've been hearing recently quite a bit. It's just, okay, we always got all this stuff going on, all these distractions. You want to appear here and there. If I don't like this, if this not working, then I'm gonna do this and just move stuff. And it's just like, okay, but what is your assignment in this season? Is it then maybe that's why you're so frustrated, because you haven't started or completed your assignment. And so, the fact, you know, that you've been able to at least look at this particular season in your life and say, okay, this is what I'm called to do in this moment through this manner to fulfill this particular, you know, this purpose in my life. And God has chosen me to be in such a field with that works with youth. Is youth the primary group that you want to focus with? Youth
yeah,
girls?
So okay. Youth are going to, yeah. So basically like Black youth in the city, they're going to be the recipients of these trainings that I'm doing with these youth leaders. And so basically, since these youth leaders are like the trusted voice in these young people's lives, I basically want to coach these youth leaders to be able to continue to pour into these young people with the proper tools and resources.
So what is your, a similar question to what I had asked Naza, as it relates to that bridge between religion and mental health. You know, I'm sure it's a conversation that you've heard quite a bit, you know, how does the church fit in with mental health and vice versa? You know, and then going into that field, I know there's been so many different conversations. Some are like, yeah. And others are like, no, prayer and Jesus. And it's like, okay, you know, and so I know that there are a lot of conversations about that. But specifically speaking to those who are, who have a more negative mindset toward it, what is your response to them as far as relaying and helping them to understand the need of what it is that you're doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, Jesus is a healer, right? And healing comes in so many different forms. And he uses people, he uses medication, he uses a multitude of ways to reach us. Even when he did miracles, he might have touched the leper, or he might have, created someone's eye and spit on the mud and created an eye. Like, he did miracles a lot of different ways in scripture. And so, it's funny because you hear a lot of times people or parents like encouraging people to be doctors, but it's like nobody wants to be a patient, right? But you can't be a doctor if you don't have patients, right? And so it's just trusting that, as much as they're called to be a doctor to help facilitate healing, Jesus said, "I came for the sick," right? And so, it just it all it's all in there, right? It's all in the Word. It's all in the Bible. And so, kind of like conveying it, it's like, I'm grabbing different pieces, but I think that for me, absolutely Jesus and therapy, absolutely Jesus and healing and community, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testament. Like, there's so many different parts. A lot of times there are particular Bible stories that I go to in terms of like, yeah, this is in scripture, in terms of like, maybe you don't see it as a mental health issue, maybe it didn't show up as a mental health issue in scripture, but there are principles that for me have made me feel like, okay, Lord, you see me. Okay, Lord, like, this is a way that I can see this and be able to understand it, understand you, understand your heart, understand your will. One of them was the story of Naaman, where he was told to wash in the water 7 times to be healed. And he was like, "Well, I thought you were just gonna, spin your wand and I would be healed just like that, right?" But there's a process. So I feel like those 7 times that he was washing was a process, right? Sometimes healing is not immediate. Sometimes it's not the Lord, placing the Lord or someone, going up to the altar and someone, casting something out of you or placing their hands on you or anointing you. Like, sometimes it is a process. You might have to go to be in therapy for a couple years. You might have to, take a medication. You might have to, whatever the case is, right? There might be a few different things that God is calling you to do as part of this process as working it out, right? And so, and then there's another one where, because a lot of times people may think that it's only a sin issue, right? That whatever you're dealing with is because you don't have enough faith or because there's some sort of sin in your life. And I think of the story of the man who was born blind, and they're like, I don't remember who it was, but they're like, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus was like, it wasn't that anyone sinned, it was that the glory of the Lord would be revealed through him. And so once he got healed, he was able to show, like, hey, this man Jesus is the one who healed me, right? And so everyone knew him as the blind guy, but when he became healed, it's like you could point to who it was, because clearly it wasn't me, because all my life you've known me to be blind, right? And so take that and transpose it to some other type of health issue, and you can kind of find the Lord's heart in it. But yeah, like, and that, other scriptures, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Like, there's just so many things where it's like God is going to show and reveal who he is in the midst of hardship. Like, in this life, we will have trials of many kinds, and I think that it looks different. Like, some people, there's more of, obviously there's more of a stigma for mental illness than cancer, for diabetes, for physical illnesses. But the brain is a very, very intricate organ, and a lot of things happen in the brain that I've learned so much about the brain since going through the things I've gone through. But it's really amazing at the same time. Like, so yeah, I know I can go on a rant, but for those who are in the faith community who do not believe that, and I don't even know, fill in the blank, what don't they believe? I don't know what it is that they're not believing, but it's like, or believe that you should only take your problems to the Lord. Maybe that's what it is. But there's clearly things in the Word where it's like you get healed in community. One more story that I like talking about is like the woman with the issue of blood. She was going to all these doctors, She was bleeding for years and years and years, but it wasn't until she like stepped out and went into the crowd around community, around people, and she like, you know, touched his hem. She was really seeking all, she was in desperation to get her healing, right? But like, it didn't happen in closed doors. It happened in the public, right? That's basically what I'm trying to say. So God wants us to share our stories. He wants us to be open about what it is that we're going through, and to not hide, and to not be in shame, to not be in fear, and all those things. And so I have found that the more that I share my story and my testimony, it frees others to start to speak up as well. It might take them a couple years, or they may not, you know, speak as openly or as candidly as I do, but they're like, okay, maybe I can repost this thing. Maybe I can write a comment. Maybe I can do this or that. Maybe I can, you know, maybe it's time for me to see a therapist. So many people now come to me as like the resource queen for like, hey, do you know a therapist here? Do you know a therapist here? Like, what should I do if I'm looking for blah, blah, blah. And I just, you know, tell them based off of my experience, I'm not a counselor. Like, I'm not a social worker. I do not have any of those letters behind my name. It's literally just my life experience that makes me an advocate, right? And I'm getting all these grants and money because I am called to it. Yeah. Not to say that I will never go to school for it, but right now I don't need the degree, right? And it's really beautiful to be like, God will qualify the called, right? And so I know I have a spiritual gift of wisdom. I have a spiritual gift of counsel. Like, I can talk to people, I can counsel them, I can give advice. But I'm not even in the realm that I'm doing right now. I'm not even being a counselor, or like, you know, you being someone who gives wise counsel. I'm actually creating a community organization that helps people financially to be able to access what they need. But it's more so like, it's just, there's a lot of different realms or a lot of different ways that you can be a part of the mental health landscape. And for me right now, it's access.
Okay. Access. Yeah. Ooh, that word. That's a good word. Got you. I think out of all of that, there was something that you said, you know, when it comes to healing and what's required or what your healing process looks like. Is that, yes, God can use a million and one different ways to do it. He can do that instantaneous, and he was like, no, you're going to put in some work. You're going to put in some work.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of factors, like you said, that play into that. They can be spiritual, they can be physical, they can just be lifestyle changes and a whole bunch of different types of things, treatment, you know, all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think whatever decision that I think is so critical, you had mentioned, you know, whatever decision that you make, ask Jesus first. And I think a lot of people just kind of stop there, or they don't even start there. They just go to everyone else, and they kind of wonder why things aren't really working out the way that they want to, or the way that they thought, you know, instead of, you know, say, God, okay, I know I have this issue. I trust you enough. How can I receive this healing? You know, and very well, he may whisper to your spirit and say, can you go talk to Jessica? Just say hi. Just go say hi to Jessica and watch what happens, or go see your doctor, or, you know, or like you were talking about before, what you had, you know, this, that process of you're doing is meditating on scripture, and that's been such a beautiful, discipline that's been going, that I don't say it's been going around, but this year specifically, I feel like I've heard it more than ever outside of the church, for people really coming to understand the importance of meditating on the word, you know, and really seeing, like you said, you know, there are people in scripture that have medical issues, like not medical, well, mental health issues specifically, where it's just like, oh shoot, like he really was tripping, huh? She really was tripping. Like, yeah, they were. They weren't all just, like, no. Most of issues, you know, but seeing how they were healed, or how they made it through, how they were able to get from one phase of their life to the next. So And so can you share again some of the ways that people can get in contact with you to get the resources that you're referring to and or how to pour into the fund to help others if they're not able to be an actual voice? So how can people reach you, support you, and get connected with what you're doing?
Yes, thank you so much. So the website is www.mentalhealthemergencyfund.org. Mentalhealthemergencyfund.org.
Okay.
And I just created an Instagram account for it. So it's Mental Health Emergency Fund, at Mental Health Emergency Fund. So please go follow, because I need some more followers for that. I only have one post up so far, but yeah, you'll be part of the people who get to see it bloom and grow and blossom. So that's how you can find me. And then my personal account is Jessica Smith Media. Yeah, would love to connect. Feel free to DM me any questions, continue the conversation. But yeah, I'm really grateful for your platform and for anyone who gives me an opportunity to share. And I'm excited to see what comes out of my fellowship, what comes out of the fund, and how the Lord is going to continue to just still reveal himself to me, but also reveal himself to people who will come across my work.
Yeah.
You have a question that's like,
no, it's just not a question. I don't know if you realize just yet how big of an impact you already have with the lives that you're already touching.
Yeah.
By just your presence alone.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to give you an incredible platform. Incredible platform. Mm-hmm. Where you will get the chance to step on the head of the enemy and mm-hmm. say, this is what Jesus has done.
Yeah.
And so... as vocal as you've already been about it and things that you've already shared and the realms and spaces that you're already in. Whenever the enemy should come physically or spiritually or however to shut you up.
Yeah.
You better scream it from the mountaintop. Like, no, 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 this is what Jesus has done for me. Cause like you said, we defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yeah.
And there's power in your testimony and how God's going to use it, and your obedience and your yes. You know, the trauma, the medicine, the healing, the attacks, it wasn't in vain. Mm-hmm. It wasn't overlooked. And everything that you've sowed and all of that, whether you recognize or realize you're sowing seeds or not, that harvest that God has for you is going to be so plentiful. You've already seen it, you know, just with the grain alone, you've already seen it. But if your father is the king of the universe, he's like, psh, ain't nobody dropping a bucket.
Yeah.
Nobody dropping a bucket. You know what I mean? So,
thank you so much.
So stay steady, stay focused. It reminds me of Nehemiah, and just like then, yeah, some people that were just hating. They were just straight. If you want to know who haters in the Bible were, look at Sam Ballard and Tobias. Well, they're just straight haters.
Yeah.
And they came and tried to trick them, and they're like, you know. And they had so go tell Nehemiah, you know, go tell him to come over here so we can talk about them,
right?
You know, from a place called Oh No, you know, and so you're going to have those people that are going to try to pull you to have discussions, you know, to either get you to change what you're doing, to change your message, change how you're mm-hmm. framing things, but in reality, they're snakes trying to destroy. But may God give you the wisdom and the discernment to be like, yeah, no, I'm good. Y'all can stay over there, you know, and so much. And so I think late, like the following chapter later on, they say, you know, that they saw that what he was, that everything that Nehemiah had did, like everything that you're going to do, is going to be so very evident that God's hand is on it. And because his hand is on it, there's not doubt, not dag on there one thing that nobody can do to undo it. It's there, like, well, dang, like we can't touch it now. It's just there, like, what? You know, so
yeah,
so be encouraged, you know that you are seen, that you are heard, you know that God sees what you do in private, you know, those prayers, those that integrity, God sees it all, and he's going to bless it all, you know. Just stay in his face, just stay in his face and watch what he does. He's gonna blow your mind again and again and again.
And again, so. Amen. You know what's so beautiful about the Holy Spirit is that, you know, some of the things you just said, like, have been prophesied over me before, just like in terms of, like, you know, God sees and you know, sees the tears in private, you know, he sees, and it's just like, you don't know that I'm having these private tears. I mean, maybe, but like, it's just like the encouragement. I will say this: the encouragement that I've received over the past several years from the Lord through people has been so consistent. Like the prophetic voice through people has been so consistent that it's like, oh, this is my Father's heart towards me. You know, like, this is how much he loves me. This is what he's continuing to sing over me. You know, so thank you so much for just that moment of just like, you know, prophetically just, you know, helping me continue to push forward, because I still need it. Even though I've gotten, you know, I've moved the ball down down the field a little bit, it's still a fight. It's still a wrestle, right? And so I do need that encouragement. You know, encouragers need the most encouragement because we get discouraged. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much for coming and sharing your light, your love. And just everything that you're doing. And I can't wait to see what unfolds next.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to your community who tuned in, and to my community as well.
Yes. It's been a pleasure. And I will see you soon.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening today, and I hope you can join me again for the next time on Be You for a Purpose, the podcast.